Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. An artist on stage, being covered by attractive dresses and dancing with different movements, is not understood by his audience. Similarly, the activities and features of the supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages, and certainly not by those who are unintelligent like animals. Neither the demigods and the sages, nor the unintelligent, can understand the features of the Lord, nor can they express in words his actual position. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. Please repeat. An artist on stage, being covered by attractive dresses, and dancing with different movements, is not understood by his audience. Similarly, the activities and features of the supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages, and certainly not by those who are unintelligent like animals. Neither the demigods and sages, nor the unintelligent, can understand the features of the Lord, nor can they express in words his actual position. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. Purport. A similar understanding was expressed by Kunti Devi. The Supreme Lord exists everywhere, within and without. He even exists within the heart. Sarvastya jaham irdi sanivasto, Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddhi arjuna tisthate. Thus, it is indicated that one can find the Supreme Lord within one's heart. There are many, many yogis trying to find him. Sorry. Dayana vastita tadgatena manasa pasyantiyam yogina. Nonetheless, even great yogis, demigods, saints and sages have been unable to understand the bodily features of that great artist, nor could they understand the meaning of his movements. What then is to be said of ordinary speculators like the so-called philosophers of this material world? For them, he is impossible to understand. Therefore, we must accept statements given by the Supreme when he kindly incarnates to instruct us. We must simply accept the word of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and follow in their footsteps. Thus, it may be possible for us to know the purpose of their incarnations. Janma karma chami divyam evam yovati tatvataha dvekta deham puna janma naiti mam iti so arjuna. Bhagavad Gita 4:9. If by the Lord's grace one can understand him, one will immediately be delivered even within this material world body. The material body will no longer have any function, and whatever activities take place with the body will be activities of Krishna consciousness. In this way, one may give up his body and return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Timaranasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militanjena Tasme Sri Guru Venama Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitanjena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Spapandiki Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutta Padakamlam Sri Guran Vaishnapamstra Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sakana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namustate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Aripriye Panchakalpa-durvischa kipasannubhivicha pititadam bhavanibhyo vaishnavyo namo nama. So seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas here to at least say something. It's not easy to be sat in front of an audience, to be able to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very elevated literature. Sama Dumasi should say something. So, first of all, we just have a little, because every day we come to the temple, we in front of the deities, we chanting, we singing, we dancing, and sometimes we sing Nishingadev prayers. Just honestly, who knows the word-for-word meaning of the Nishingadev prayers? Because that's actually the purport of this class, is that today. Where is Krishna? Does anyone know the meaning? I mean, you know, I did know the meaning, not like word for word, but when you look it up, you would say, you know, the real, when you're sitting and asking for protection, this is the whole purport of this translation, this text, is about knowing or understanding who we're worshipping, what we're praying about, what our devotion is. We're not just happy because there's a big kirtan going on. We have to, there's jnana and vigyan. We have to have that realized knowledge about why we are doing things. If we don't know the simple things in life and we go to the esoteric things in life, the deeper stuff, without understanding the real aim of this human form of life, then we've kind of wasted our life if we don't know the simple thing. Because Krishna here, this verse is about who is Krishna? Where, you know, how can we understand him? So when we sing Nishingadev prayers, it's explained there, Ito Nishingo Parato Nishingo. He's here and he's there. Bahe Nishingo Ridaheishna. He's outside the heart and he's inside the heart. Yato Yato. What's Yato Yato? Yeah, he's here, there. Yami Tato Nishingo. He's here, he's there, and he's everywhere. So, if he is everywhere, then he can definitely give us protection in any circumstances. So, here, therefore, it is so important for us when we're singing or when we're reading or when we even Sanskrit verses, and if we understand the meanings of the words, and then we can direct it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it explains that 15:15, Krishna is speaking, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance and forgetfulness. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Bonitai ki jai. So, by all the Vedas I am to be known, indeed I am the compiler of the Vedas and I am the knower of the Vedas. He's explaining them. So, direction actually comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's explained that in the third canto, sixth chapter, that when the living entity leaves his body, he's around for like 3 months and then he's held in suspension for millions of lifetime. At the time of dissolution, he enters into Mahavishnu and he's in suspension for millions of lifetime. Only when the Lord, through his mercy, decides to create, then with Kali, he amalgamates all these entities together and then creation takes place. But only by his mercy or by his order this happens. So at that point, the living entity is completely in forgetfulness. Even at the point of entering into the womb, the living entity is in forgetfulness of his actual position. So, but the Lord is very, very kind. Therefore, he says, yeah, that I am the knower of the Vedas. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedas. Why he's a compiler, he's a knower of the Vedas? Because of our forgetfulness, all these books are presented there for us. He incarnate himself as all these Vedanta, the Vedic literatures, to remind us of our position in this material world. So when we take birth in this material world, there's forgetfulness, but Krishna is so kind, he accompanies us as the super soul. So as the super soul, he directs our activities. And these activities, whatever desires we've had from our previous life, that would come, that becomes prominent in this lifetime. The desires that we have strongly from our previous life would be, you know, we would be actually making our following those desires that we have from a previous life. So the Supreme Lord is actually directing our every activity in life. So at some point in our life, we're given that mercy. And this is also by the Supreme Lord's mercy. We're given a chance to either come in contact with a devotee or somehow make there is some supreme arrangement for us to dormant soul in our heart is awakened. So from that point on, our life begins, actually. When Krishna consciousness is not awakened in the heart, then it's explained that we are moving around like inanimate objects, dolls, you know, like in this this purport here. It explains that we're acting like artists on a stage. You know, we're putting on nice clothes, we're performing so many different activities, but still, we are just dancing dolls, nothing, no life. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's explained that he is more eager to get us home back to Godhead than we are ourselves. So he establishes himself in so many different ways in the material world to entice us, actually, to entice us to go back home. He comes through his books. He comes through his devotees. He comes through the demigods. He comes to so many different ways to get us out of this place. But still, this material world is so alluring that we want to stay here, actually. We really want to stay here and enjoy the fruits of this, you know, that we reap. So anyway, Krishna is very, very kind. He says, there's three ways, he says, he's a knower. There's three ways by which he helps us. He gives us direction, which comes from the Supreme Lord and the Super Soul, because he knows past, present, and future. He gives us direction. And then as a witness, he is within the heart. He witnessed our activities. And he also fulfills our every desire. So we have a little bit of free will, but we're not completely independent to act the way we want. So the living entity, with some knowledge and remembrance, is supposed to dovetail all his activities in this material world towards serving the Supreme Lord. And we're looking for that enjoyment in this material world. We think we can get it from a big house, a big car, lots of money, but there's no enjoyment. We get so many examples in this material world. The richest person would commit suicide. The richest person is going under depression or drug abuse or alcohol. You see this in the material world. So what is real happiness? They don't understand They think these happiness comes from these things. But the real happiness is to understand that we are spirit soul and this is a temporary material world we're living in, that our place is to be established with serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead back home. So in this way, even it's explained in this purport, the demigods and great sages don't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What to speak of us, you know, puny living entities in the material world who are trying to understand him. We know examples from Lord Shiva, where he, so many stories about Lord Shiva trying to prove himself more powerful than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Brahma, Lord Indra with Govardhan Hill, and Lord Brahma stealing the cowherd boys, all these things we can understand. And yet, when we do Sankirtan, when we meet people, they tell you, I'm an atheist, or show me God. Not so long ago, I was in one guy said, everything in the material world you can see by example, but show me example of God. Let, you know, show me God, where God. So he's explained here, if the demigods and great philosophers and the sages cannot see God, who are we to claim we want to see God? We have to have the eyes, we have to have the intelligence to be able to see God. So in this way, there'll be so many arguments of people wanting justification for their sense gratification in this material world and to avoid the worship of God, to understand that everything belongs to God for their own sense gratification, pleasures. So, but it is our duty, actually, it's our duty to make sure we go out there and enlighten them. This is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. We are here. As soon as we have a little bit of knowledge of who we are, where we came from, and how we can establish our relationship with the Supreme Lord, then we have to take it as our duty to give this to others, the little we know, to enlighten them about this philosophy. So Krishna says, from him comes forgetfulness and remembrance. So, and according to Bhagavad Gita, he actually carries what we lack. What's that verse? So he is there for us continuously. We just have to take shelter of him, and in this way he would protect us all the time. So it's explained that the results of our word by the conditioned soul is given opportunity to receive knowledge for understanding the Vedas through the Paramatma, the super soul. The three ways of understanding the Vedas and attaining perfection is by understanding the Vedas. One can understand one's relationship by reading, and by following the process, one can approach him. And the end result is the supreme goal, where we eternally situated at his lotus feet. So the first one, by reading, we can understand, then we establish our relationship. But following the process is the vital part. It's very easy to establish a relationship with somebody, but to maintain that relationship, it takes a long time to maintain, because when you're maintaining a relationship on the way, there's so many obstacles on the path. Unless Daivi, like Krishna Bhagavad Gita, Daivi Isha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durachaya, this divine energy, Krishna calls this energy divine. This divine energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. But those that take shelter of me, they can cross beyond it. So it's very easy to establish a relationship, but to follow the process and maintain it, it's not easy. Yet there's a struggle, but we have to persevere. determination and faith. We have to have the determination and faith. Come hail or high waters. Determination, you have to have this determination no matter what happens. Because normally we have the tendency that when in difficulties, it's very easy to put the blame, to find fault, to try and, you know, make justifications or seeing that things are done unfairly. You know, there's so many obstacles. Actually, it's explained that the demigods, in previous verses, the demigods actually, when they see that someone is serious about devotional service, especially a sannyasi, they say, oh, this person thinks he can be on the renounced platform. He can, you know, surrender to Krishna. Let me see how. So the demigods actually put obstacles on the path of devotional service. Of course, we have three ways by which we actually undergo difficulties, adibhautik, adiatmik, adidevik. So the demigods actually put obstacles to test us on our faith in the process of devotional service. So this process is very, very vitally important to be able to reach that goal, to reach that eternal goal, to be one with Krishna. And what is that process? We know what that process is. What is the process? As Prabhupada gave us. Yeah, four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds. Well, what did Prabhupada say? If we can chant, dance, association of devotees, and take prasadam, we made our way back home, back to Godhead. Also following the four regulative principles. But, and also, when you read the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains in the purport that if you can master the art of the 14th chapter and imbibe it within your heart, you can go back home, back to Godhead with the 14th chapter. If you seriously follow everything that's there and you concentrate on that. So following the process means we practice what we preach. We cannot preach what we don't practice ourselves. It's like a father is smoking and he's telling his son, no son, you shouldn't be smoking. We go out there preaching to people. We have to be the perfect example. So following the process also means temple life. How are we following the process? Are we, you know, following what Prabhupada has given us, the simple things in life? It might seem simple, going to Mangalarti, chanting your rounds in the association of devotees, listening to class, the sandwich. Are we performing that sandwich that Prabhupada wanted us to, the morning program, the evening program, you know? So in this way, if we follow the process, and the secret of success is to follow the orders of the spiritual master. This morning I was reading something, Prabhupada conversation. There's two lines in our of the tilak, is the guru and Krishna, the two lines. You can't separate them. It's the two tracks on the railway tracks. The guru and Krishna. Without the two, you can't go anywhere. Without the spiritual master, you can't go to Krishna, because no matter what we do, whether we do, you know, in this material world or spiritual world, we need a teacher. And Krishna actually showed by example. He had his guru, he had Sandipani Muni, he had his teacher, Lord Chaitanya had, you know, Guru Parampara, everyone, you would see God, an acharya or a diksha guru, siksha guru. There's always some teacher to give. So it's upper 8 now. I would just speak a little bit about Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, about simple living and high thinking. How? It doesn't mean one has to be very elevated, knowledgeable, like I got no knowledge about philosophy. I'm simple living, and I'm a very simple village girl. All I do is like chanting, hearing, and, you know, I don't get into deep philosophy. Maybe one day, just like how Krishna touched his conch shell to Dhruva Maharaj, and he could eloquently speak beautiful prayers and words, and even Lord Brahma, as soon as he sat on his lotus, on the lotus flower, and he meditated on Krishna, and he could speak the Brahma Samhita, just like that. I'm still waiting for that day when I could be able to freely, eloquently speak Krishna's glories. Anyway, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was a very, very elevated person. I was surprised that he actually married at the very young age, and he was married for like 20 years, and I was quite surprised that he was Babaji was a renunciate. He is a renunciate, but even though he was married. But when his wife died, he retired in Vrindavan for a long time. And then he attained the title Bhajananandi in Vrindavan. So he stayed quite a long time in Vrindavan, and then went to, he was born in Bangladesh, actually. And then he went to Mayapur, Navadvip. And he spent a long time in Navadvip. His father was Vamsidas. And he lived for 30 years. He lived in Rajamanda under trees. And he wouldn't, he had no possession. All he had was his bead bag and japa beads. And he had a songbook, Praratana, that book, yeah. Yeah, that's all he had. And for clothes, he'd never take service from anyone. And for clothes, for some, attire, he would go to the crematorium and pick up, the dead people's clothes that were around. He would use that. And then he would, when he was in Navadvip, he used to go regularly to hear Srimad Bhagavatam class from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then they became very friendly. While I was reading, he was very strict about hypocrites. Anyone that pretended to be a devotee, he would disclose them. He had no problem with disclosing. There was one queen that wanted to buy a purchase some land in Navadvip, and he chastised her heavily. He says, How can you even think you can use your money to buy the land from the holy dam? So he would chastise, and anyone that came in the dress, was well dressed with sikar and tilak, he would look at them. If there was an imposter, he would reveal them. And one time he got dressed up as a Brahmin, and he went to see Bhakti. He dressed up nice with tilak, all very nicely attired. He went to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was quite surprised to see him. He said, "Why are you dressed like this?" He said, "Now you know, like I'm an imposter. It's not me. It's not him." So, in this way, he displayed unbelievable austerities in his life, and he actually lived in near the public toilets in the Dharmashala. Public toilets. He used to stay there. And one time he was asked, "Well, why are you doing this? Why are you staying in a place?" He said, "Why I'm staying here? I'm staying here because to teach the people in general that false devotion smells like the excreta in the toilets. Anyone that has false devotion, this is how it smells, like the toilets, So I'm sitting here, and they should wonder how this person can perform his, service in this place." So he was very, very, and one time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati asked him, he was losing his eyesight, he was blind, and he said, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati wanted to take him to Calcutta to get his eyesight back. And he said, what? You want to take him to Calcutta? The, what universe he called it? The illusory universe? You want to take me? He said he's not going there. So, yeah. But the passing away of Bhakti Gaurakishore Das Babaji is very, very sweet. I don't know the word for word, but I know there was some dissension amongst the God brothers about who would take care of him and who would perform all the rituals when he leaves his body. And there was some dissension, but I know he asked, and the brahmacharis will know this, he asked three questions to actually retrieve the body of Gaurakishore Das Babaji so he can perform all the rituals and do it the proper way. So if anyone can tell us, you know. He said three things so he could perform, take possession of Gaurakishore Das Babaji's, Maharaj's body and to perform all the rituals. As anyone, something about sense gratification ones, do you know? Tell us, Prabhu. First, yeah, he started out with the last, yeah. Or one day. Yeah. And no one could, illicit activities, if anyone performed for like 1 month, then few days, or even one day, then you can have this, you know, perform the rituals for him. And no one could put their hands up. No one could come forward to say, you know, they haven't. So in this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati got, you know, that the mercy of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. So he was a very, very elevated person and set the best example. I know for in this day and age, it's very, very difficult for us to go to that extreme. But just the thought that our only business in this material world is service. This is all our business. There's nothing else but hearing, chant, the nine processes of devotional service. If we can master one of them, then we have, you know, achieved something. But we look up to these great, you know, great, great personality with awe and reverence for the service they rendered and the examples they set for us. Even if we can't come close to them, at least we follow the orders of our own spiritual master by continuously asking or finding out from our own spiritual master, am I doing the right thing? You know, am I doing the right thing? Is there anything you want me to do? Anything, any changes you want to make in my life so my life can be successful in devotional service? We have to keep asking these questions to know where we are at. So in that way, we are safe. I'll stop there if there's any questions.